We are then at the beginning, or fairly near the beginning of 2023, and over the next two Sundays, in actual fact, I'll be relaunching our church vision. And our vision as Rock Christian Centre is a biblical vision that's based on Acts 2:42-47, which is the story of the very first church that started following the mighty outpouring power of God on the day of Pentecost at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. So I'm sure you're familiar with that story. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power upon the disciples, Peter preaches the gospel to a great crowd of people from many different nations, many different tongues, and 3,000 people became believers on that day of Pentecost. And Acts chapter 2, verses 42-47 describes what the first church was like. It describes their priorities as a church and what they did. And our vision as a church here in Rock Christian Centre is to be as close as possible to the example and the pattern of that first church. So Felix is going to come up and read the story to us from verse 41. But I think he's also got something that he wanted to, or felt that was from the Lord. You can come and stand here if you want. All right.
I don't take it as a right, nor a privilege. It is God's direction anyway. Hallelujah. As the praises was going on, God was ministering something in my heart. He said, I should ask the church, this year, do you want to walk with God or do you want to walk with God? It's two words. Walking for God or walk with God. He said, if you are working for me, that means your reward is here. And when Pastor Paul was saying, your reward is in heaven, I was struggling. I said, I don't want to say this. I just want to read the scripture and just go to my chair. Then the Spirit continued to minister. I said, you must say this word. It's the word I've asked the church. If you work for God, your reward is here. But if you walk with God, your reward is here and in heaven. That means you must walk with God this year. If you read the book of Matthew 11, the Message Bible, it says, walk with me. Walk with me. Not walk for me. If you walk for NHS, you're paid. At the end of the month, they will pay you. But if you walk with NHS, they will pay you, but you will take the work as a passion, the love to work. But if you are working, you are working because of the money. Hallelujah. That is what the Bible said, work with God, not work for God. Every believer, take it, work with God this year, and God will bless you abundantly. Amen. Praise God. The reading is from Acts of the Apostle 2:41-47. It said, those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 42. Then devoted themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Then 43, everyone was filled with awareness that the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold properties and possessions to give to another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and eat together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Praise God and enjoy the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God bless his reading in our hearts.
Amen. Thank you, Fidelis. And it's so important what Fidelis just said about the fact that we need to walk with the Lord. And we need to walk with the Lord in the vision that I'm talking about, not just working at it, not just doing it, but actually living it out. And so it is our vision in that sense. When I first came to this church in 2003, it was a tiny church plant, a new church plant, meeting upstairs in the old onion factory on Carlisle Street where we used to be based. And I knew that God had very specifically called me to lead this church. It was God's doing. And I knew that he had given me a vision for growth. In fact, that vision for growth had been given to me way back in 1989, just before I was taking over as senior pastor for the first church that I led down in London. And I was just coming up for 30 years of age. I was 30 years of age, and the old pastor was moving on, and I was becoming senior pastor. And I went to the Lord, and I said, what am I supposed to do with this lot? You know, how am I going to lead? And through the Leadership 89 conference in Caister in Norfolk, and a walk along the beach, I knew that God had given me a vision of growth. And that is the basis of our vision as a church. And so the first thing I did way back in 2003, a few of you here were there at that time, you'll remember this, the very first thing I did when I took over as pastor of the church here, the church then was called Church on the Rock, or Church on the Rocks, as some people used to call it. And it looked as though it was heading for disaster in lots of ways, because it was tiny and perhaps wasn't looking too hopeful. But the first thing I did was to present this fourfold vision of growth based on the growth of the first church in Acts chapter 2, those verses we've read, 42 to 47. And that would be that we would be a growing church. So the vision was that we would be a growing church, that we'd be growing up in maturity. Hopefully that will come up on the screen as well. Growing together in community, growing out in evangelism and mission, and growing larger in numbers. And all of those growth factors come from that story of that very first church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We see that they were growing up in maturity, they were growing together in community, they were growing out in evangelism and mission, and they were growing larger in numbers as the Lord added daily to their numbers. But back in 2003 here in Sheffield, it seemed an impossible vision. How could this tin pot little church plant meeting the upstairs of an onion factory really grow and develop? But you know, as Paul was alluding to earlier, the Lord has really blessed this church. And it's been absolutely incredible. And he's blessed this vision. And he's blessed it more abundantly than we could ever have dreamt or imagined. You know, and that tells us that where God has given the vision, he will accomplish it. Where God guides, he provides. And it's incredible to think that this church started in one of the council flats overlooking these buildings, with just six people in the council flat in March 2000. They were looking down at what was then the library, the fairly new library and housing benefit offices. How could they have ever dreamt that the church that they started then would one day actually own all these buildings and the car park as well, and that we would be here? It's amazing, isn't it? Only God could have done that. And so I just want to really encourage you with with that truth. And you know, this fourfold vision of growth has continued to be the vision of the church for nearly 20 years now. Next year will be 20 years since I came to Church on the Rock, Rock Christian Center. And over the years, we've expanded the vision to include specific aims and the commitments under each of the four titles of growth. We've also introduced the partnership commitment. We introduced that in 2012. And if you've never seen one of those partnership cards, then do pick one up. There's some on the table on your way out there. There are some that look very similar to that, which haven't got partnership, what we believe, but make sure it's got partnership on it. And so we developed it in that way as well. And we'll be particularly focusing on that at the end of this month when we have our partnership service. We also have core values as well that go alongside the fourfold vision, and I'll be sharing a little bit more about that next Sunday. Our previous vision, aims and commitments, including the vision to purchase our own site, which was a dream. We launched the building fund in 2010, and part of the vision was that we would be able to find a site and buildings. And, you know, it is incredible how the Lord has provided, the Lord has blessed. And it is wonderful that we are here, that we do own this whole site, and that we do not owe any money on it. That is incredible. That's incredible. And we praise God for it. We have no rent to pay anymore. We just have a few pounds that we have to pay every year for various leaseholds that, because the land is under lease. So we are wonderfully blessed as a church, and it has been the Lord's doing. The growth and development of the church has been the Lord's doing. But you know, that is dangerous because we can feel as though we have arrived. You know, we could feel, and I must admit, when we finally moved into this building at Easter time and we got the kitchen done and everything else, I thought, whew. Now, for years I've been on about the building project and raising money and everything else, and you know, but you know, and it's easy to rest, to settle down, the church is nicely full, and to feel, you know, we've accomplished it, we've arrived. But you know, folks, we haven't arrived. Because God still has a greater vision for us. He has a vision for growth for us. And you know, if we meander, we end up losing focus, and we can meander through the next few years. You see, church is not about buildings. You know, a lot of our focus has had to be about buildings, but the Lord's provided the buildings. The church is not the buildings. It's about building the kingdom of God. And Jesus has blessed us, but you know, he blesses us for a purpose, doesn't he? We need to be a purpose-driven church. A church that's driven by the purposes of God, not by our own ideas. Driven by God's purposes for us. Intentional as a church about accomplishing his will, his plan, his purpose for us as a church. And when I say his plan, his purpose and his will for us as a church, I'm talking about his plan, his purpose for you, each one of you, and for me. Because we are the church. The church is people, it's not buildings. You are the church just as much as I'm the church. It's not John Watts's church, praise God. It would be a right mess if it was. It's all of our church, and so it's a right mess because of all of us, isn't it? But it's a lovely, glorious mess, which is wonderful, which is what the church is meant to be in many ways. Proverbs 29 verse 18, God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's why I believe it's vitally important at the beginning of 2023 to relaunch our vision as a church. It's a vision relaunch because it's essentially the same vision. I don't believe that God's vision for his church has changed. We're not into cool concepts. We're not into trendy marketing. We're not into fashionable fads as Rock Christian Center. We're about following God and doing God's going God's way. We want God's vision for Rock Christian Centre to be our vision for the church. And I'm going to just show you a video that Paul Hunt's put together. It highlights our vision, it highlights our core values, and it highlights this fourfold vision for growth. And it's got our mission statement, the strap line and everything else on it, and it's also on the website. But let's just watch that for a moment. It's just a couple of minutes long. It's just helpful to have a video that really encapsulates the vision of the church, so that when people link into the website, they can know what we are about. But it also helps to focus for ourselves on what we are about as a church. And as I say, it brings in the four growth areas. It talks about our core values that I'll look at next week. But under each of the four growth areas, the four growing areas, we have specified aims and commitments. Aims that we want to try, what we're aiming for as a church, and commitments that we are prepared to make as a church in order to achieve those aims. And many of the aims and commitments that we've got have not changed dramatically, because we're continuing to aim to be focused on Jesus. We continue as a church to desire to make Jesus the main thing and to keep Jesus the main thing. Amen? He is the main thing. He is the main focus. They are focused, our aims and commitments, on obeying the Word of God, the authority of the Word of God as our rule for living, not what we might think or what society would teach. And it emphasizes again being filled and the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we want to be going deeper into Jesus so that we become more like Jesus. The relaunched vision is a big vision, but what seems impossible to man is possible with God. Amen? So let's look at these verses and unpack just two parts of the fourfold vision today, and then next week we'll look at the other two. So first of all, growing up in maturity. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now just think for a moment of the makeup of this first church. It didn't look very promising. It was made up, this first church was made up of 3,000 brand new Holy Spirit filled Christians. There were then 108 slightly more mature Christians who had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then there were 11 apostles who had been Jesus' disciples. And there was one pastor called Peter who 50 days before this had denied Jesus three times with curses. Now, I don't know what you would feel about going to a church where nearly everyone was a brand new believer and where the pastor had been cursing and swearing that he didn't know Jesus just 50 days earlier. But this is this first church. It's incredible, isn't it? It's amazing. You know, it's hardly a recipe for a stable, mature church. We would have probably, if we had known about the situation, would have sacked the pastor and brought in a team of experienced church consultants and said, you know, we need to do something about this. But the Holy Spirit was mightily at work. And they were growing rapidly. And the most important words in these verses are the first three words in verse 42. They devoted themselves. That's the walking with God. Not working for God. That's the walking with God. They devoted themselves. Such was the enthusiasm, such was the commitment of these new Christians that they made their newfound faith number one in their lives. Notice it doesn't say that Peter devoted himself. It doesn't say that the 12 apostles devoted themselves. It doesn't even say that the 120 in total who were in the upper room, who burst out of the upper room and shared good news with everyone else devoted themselves. It says they devoted themselves, the whole church devoted themselves. And this vision is dependent on each one of us devoting ourselves. Devoting ourselves to who? Devoting ourselves to what? Devoting ourselves to Jesus, first and foremost. They were fixing their eyes on Jesus. They were seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God and the Holy Spirit was adding everything else to their church. This church devoted itself to learning more about Jesus. They were hungry for teaching. They were hungry for the word of God. And I hope as a church that we will be hungry. You know, some of us probably at the beginning of the year made the decision that we would try and go on a diet because we needed to lose weight. We stuffed ourselves over Christmas and we want to go on a diet. You know, the problem is that so many Christians, we're overfed physically, but we're underfed spiritually. So we can be needing to loosen our belts because of the amount of food we've taken in, but yet at the same time be like starving children we see spiritually. And God wants us to be hungry for more of him. Hungry for the word of God. Get into the word of God because it will feed you. It will feed you. We want to be a church that's hungry to get into the word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This early church, they were hungry to get from the milk to real meat. They were hungry to grow in knowing Jesus. And God wants us to be hungry to be fed by God's word. Hungry to be taught Christian truth. Hungry to know Jesus better, to know his word better, to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus. And so we want Rock Christian Center as a church to be constantly growing in maturity, growing in knowing Jesus, growing in Bible teaching, growing in the understanding and application of God's word, growing in prayer. How many of you attend one of the prayer meetings? You know, if we're not asking God to do great things, then it's not likely he'll do them. How we need to be growing in prayer. And that's all of us, that challenge that we should be devoted to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to fellowship. We're saying something more about that in a moment. They were growing in faithfulness. They were growing in resisting the devil. They were growing in miracles, praise God, because they were seeing God's work in power. And they were growing up in maturity. And let me just take you through the aims and commitments we've got under growing up in maturity. So you may struggle to see some of that, but I'm going to read it to you and just take this in. Every person, so this is for Rock Christian Center, every person, that's you and me, every person in the church should be growing in their knowledge and understanding of God's word, growing in the fullness and experience of the Spirit, growing in their obedience to the word as revealed by the Spirit in every aspect of their daily lives. That's a big aim, isn't it? But it's a great aim to have. The second aim, every person in the church to be growing in their personal relationship with Jesus and in their worship and prayer life. Have you got a desire to grow in your worship and prayer life in 2023 and onwards? Next one, every person growing deeper in their understanding of God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, and becoming more like Jesus in their lives. You know, that's our goal as a church, to become more like Jesus. That should be each one of our goals, to become more like Jesus in our lives. The next one. Every person in the church should be growing towards maturity in their attitudes, love and cares for others. I sometimes get a nervous twitch when people say they're mature Christians. So it quite often means when they call themselves a mature Christian that they're some of the most immature and unkind people around. You know, God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be growing in our maturity and our attitudes and our love and our care for others. The next one, every person in the church to discover their calling and gifts and be using those gifts to serve Jesus through the church and the community. Do you know, God has given each one of you, if you are a believer, you have gifts. You are part of the body of Christ. You have things that you can bring and ways in which you can contribute. You have gifts that I don't have. Praise God. And you know, we need to work together, and it's being available and making those gifts and working together to see the kingdom of God develop in this community. And then finally, under aims, under growing up in maturity, Rock Christian Center to be a church where people experience the presence and the power of God, where answers to prayer and miracles take place. Amen? Amen. Isn't that what we want? Yeah? Yeah? Good. And here are our commitments. So what we're saying is we're making a commitment. In order to achieve those aims, this is a commitment that we collectively are doing as a church or taking. Our commitment is to provide regular, systematic and applied Bible teaching and preaching to feed the spiritual growth of the church. Because we can't be growing up in maturity, we can't be devoted to the Word of God if no one's actually teaching it. And so it's important that that is a foundation of the church. And so we're making that commitment to provide that applied Bible teaching. Secondly, to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our church life and services. Well, there's been a good illustration today because we've had a testimony come in and we've had a word from the Lord come in. And earlier I heard Rosemary singing beautifully over us as well as part of the worship, you know. And, you know, we can all bring that, and that's wonderful. You know, did you know the Holy Spirit is very disruptive to order of services? It's a right pain when you're a pastor. I said to Paul today, you know, I really need to get on to speak a little bit earlier, really, because there's a lot to share here. And then up comes a testimony, and Fidelis has something to share, and, you know, different things are going on. But it's great, isn't it? You know, it's not dead. It's alive. It's living. And oh, that more of you were hearing from God and bringing things to us as a church. Yeah? So that is that commitment to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our church life and services. We will encourage Spirit-filled worship. Praise God for the blessing of our worship teams. Let's just give a round of applause. When I'm not at this church, I miss the worship. If you're watching on live stream, you've not yet come back to church. Come back to church, because I'll tell you what, it's naff on sitting in your front room listening to someone croaking away. But you know, it's wonderful when we're here, and it's just the beauty and the presence of God with us, isn't it? You know, and that's wonderful. So we will encourage Spirit-filled worship, praise and prayer, where the use of the gifts of the Spirit, again, are welcomed, embraced and used to build up the body of Christ, of the church. Next one, to challenge every person in the church to be growing in their relationship with Jesus and to be more Christ-like in their attitude to one another, to others. And that is a challenge, isn't it? And I want you to challenge me. And I want to be able to challenge you. And we need to be able to challenge one another to be more like Jesus. Amen. You know, if we see bad attitudes, let's challenge one another. Because we're not living up to the standard of Jesus. That we would be a true community of God's people. to train and empower people to discover their gifts and calling and use them in the service of Jesus for the blessing of others. And that's why we do training courses. It's why we do different subjects and we have conferences or whatever it may happen to be. And we can do more of that in order to train and empower people. Next, to provide training courses for specific needs that will encourage personal growth, maturity, discovery of gifts, and leadership development. We're doing growing leaders at the present time. And then finally, final commitment under this is to provide opportunities for regular corporate prayer and intercession and to celebrate together answers to prayer. Prayer is so important. The first thing after launching the vision in this church in 2003 is we started a half night of prayer once a month. That was quite challenging. When you only got about 30 or 40 in the church and only about 8 people and you've got 4 hours and you haven't got any worship leaders, we used to sit round a CD player. But you know, we founded the growth of the church on prayer and it grew because of prayer. How committed are you to pray? You know, it's developing that. And then celebrating together answers to prayer. We tend to be very good with our shopping lists, don't we? I want, we need as a church. But we forget to thank God for the answers to prayer. But all prayers should start with thanksgiving and praise for who God is, what he's already done, for all the answers to prayer. And that's why last week it was so great to have that testimony service and to hear how God had been with people through some of the tough times, but also some wonderful celebrations of breakthroughs. So we do that together. So secondly, let's move on to growing together in community. Verse 44 onwards, it says, and this is challenging, isn't it? In this first church, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. This church, they spent time together. It wasn't just a Sunday church. Now, we're pretty good as a church at turning out on the Sunday. Well, some of us are. You're here anyway. There's quite a few aren't, and I know that people are on shift work and everything else. But you know, they did far more than just meet together on the first day of the week. They met together in each other's homes. They prayed together. They worshipped together. They ate together. You know, it's a wonderful thing to eat together. Something's broken down when you eat together. It will be great at the ladies' lunch on Saturday. Because they'll be eating together. And hopefully they won't just be gossiping together, but they will be. And hopefully they won't be talking about us men together. But it will be good to be together because something gets broken down. You get to know one another and you share together when you eat together. They broke bread together. Yeah, that's the word for communion, but it was part of a meal together. They shared their possessions. Oh, that's getting challenging, isn't it? That's getting challenging. Would I lend my car to someone? Would you lend something as precious to you to someone? It's a challenge, isn't it? They shared their possessions. They shared their money. It's even more challenging. They gave. They looked after those who were in need. And you know, I'm so thankful as a church that we are doing food bank and we're doing all these things which are reaching out to other people. And it's so, so important that we're doing those things. But it's also important that we care for one another within the body of the church. You know, and that we are aware. We don't want people to come in here with real needs and go out with those same needs. And you know, that is a genuine community. That is what community is when it's at work. There was a wonderful example, actually, of our community in action. I was really moved to hear this. And some of you will have been involved in this. But someone told me some of you have clubbed together and raised over £1,300, I believe, to be able to give and to bless Magali and Martin and the family at this time. That is the church community at work, folks. That's reality, isn't it? And, you know, there needs to be more of that. It's so important. So in Acts, this church enjoyed being together. Verse 46 tells us they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Do you enjoy coming to church? You know, we should enjoy coming to church. We should look forward to it. We should feel that we're really missing out if we're not part of the community. Because, you know, we should be doing it with glad and sincere hearts. Yeah, we may come with some burdens, but we share those burdens. We go out with uplifted hearts and minds. And so they share together with glad and sincere hearts. And church, in that sense, is meant to be a living, vibrant community of people who love Jesus and love one another. You know, sometimes it's far easier to love Jesus than it is to love one another. It really is. And it's a challenge, isn't it? To really love one another. And that, if that's going to be achieved, it requires all of us to be actively loving Jesus and actively loving one another. What did Jesus say was the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. Just try and just love your neighbour as yourself. It flows from your love for the Lord. So Jesus wants Rock Christian Centre to be a church where we're loving the Lord with all our heart, loving our neighbours as ourselves. A church that's growing in fellowship, growing in friendship, and growing in fun, folks. You can actually enjoy church. You can enjoy God. You can enjoy fellowship together. And you know, there should be a buzz at the end of the services. There should be joy on our faces. We should be greeting one another and hugging one another where that's not too invasive in your privacy or whatever. We should be breaking bread together and sharing together and caring for one another and praying together and rejoicing together and weeping together when that's necessary. So let's try and quickly look at our aims. Maybe someone could just nip downstairs and say we'll be about 10 minutes. To the children's workers. So our aims under growing together in community. First of all, to provide a warm and welcoming environment where all people feel accepted, loved and part of the church family. That is so important, isn't it? No one should go out of this church feeling rejected. Provide a warm and welcoming environment where all people feel accepted, loved and part of the church family. And can I just say, it's really lovely to hear visitors who come here and say, we really received a real welcome. You know, it's lovely because I quite often hear that testimony from people. And I that thrills my heart. But it's dependent not on me remembering everyone's name at the door. It's dependent on each one of us looking out for the one who might be on their own, looking out for the newcomer and sharing love and care for them. Secondly, to provide a safe and secure environment for all, including children and vulnerable adults, because there can't be love where there's insecurity. Thirdly, to encourage every person to take an interest in others, to sacrificially love, care, pray, and provide for those around them, rather than selfishly seeking their own interests. Do you take an interest in other people? Do you know anything about the people who are sitting on your row if they're not part of your family? Do you even know their names? It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge. You know, at the end of church, when we have tea and coffee, we get round our little circles of people that we know and we're familiar with and we feel safe and secure with, and we chat to them. And it's so important that we actually look out for others and that we include. We're an inclusive church where we include others, where people feel warm, welcomed and cared for in that way. Not to be selfishly seeking our own interests. To create an expanding network of growth groups across the city that become loving, caring, supportive, pastoral and evangelistic communities. The importance of small groups. The importance of meeting together. And can I just say, it's so important. You know, it's no good just coming together on a Sunday. We need to be together. We need, and it's good to be broken down into smaller groups, because there's a lot of people here. You can't be, you know, close to everyone here, but a small group, and you can share, and you can pray, and you can practice spiritual gifts in, with each other within that safety, etc. To encourage Christians to be in community with one another through mutual love, support, encouragement, practical help, hospitality, prayer. We need the gift of hospitality, don't we? To be exercised more in the church, where we're in one another's homes, where we're providing for one another. To care and pray for people through every season of life, supporting them through the tough times and rejoicing together in the good times. Isn't that so important? To really care, to really pray for people through every season of life. I think I've probably put that in because I'm getting a bit elderly myself. Supporting them through the tough times and rejoicing together in the good times. And our commitments that go with that is to provide a welcoming church through the welcome team, visitor information, refreshments, newcomers lunches, welcome churches, welcome boxes, etc., that welcome refugees into the area. So, you know, there's some practical ways in which we can be that welcoming church. So our commitment is that, to provide an accessible church through in-person and live stream services via our website and social media. So being aware that right now people are watching us all over different countries in the world. Lovely to have you part of us. You know, that's great, isn't it? But it's making sure that we're providing a church that can reach out to as many people as possible, making it accessible as possible, to provide safe and secure buildings, and to have a clear safeguarding policy that protects everyone, particularly children and vulnerable adults. And it's so important that we have a robust protection safeguarding policy, because if people don't feel safe, they're not going to be able to relax. It's vitally important. To train, encourage and exhort every person to be self-sacrificial in their love, care and compassion for others. Provide an expanding network of growth groups across the city and train leaders and hosts to develop genuine, loving communities of God's people. So these are commitments we're making to address the aims we've already looked at. To encourage people to be in community with others through friendships, practical help, hospitality, prayer, etc. To provide pastoral support and visits to care for people during difficult times. You know, so often people don't feel, please don't be like this, don't feel that you haven't been visited unless the pastor's been. No, we're called to love one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another. And you know, you can visit, maybe there's someone that you could visit and encourage. And just encourage if they're going through a tough time. And you know, it thrills my heart again to hear how many people have been going around visiting and caring for those who have been in particular going through difficult times. To stand in the gap in prayer for our church family, for our families, our friends, our local communities, our city and beyond. To celebrate God's goodness in answered prayer is so important that we're standing in the gap for others. Standing in the gap for the church, family, for our friends. You know, there's folk here, dear John and Rosemary Beyer, they pray for you. Everyone who's on church suite gets prayed for regularly by John and Rosemary Beyer. Isn't that great? Is that something that you could do? Maybe it might just be your growth group that you commit to pray for. Or it may be a team that you're involved in, you're praying for them. But let's be a church that prays for one another, that stands in the gap. And not just for one another, but for our city and for our nation, for God to be working in power. And then finally, to share communion together as a whole church community at least once a month. Because the Lord said and commands us to meet together, to share together, to break bread together, to remember the Lord's death until he comes. So in conclusion today, as I said, next week we'll look at growing larger as a church. We're going to look at growing out in evangelism mission next Sunday. But are you excited about what God can do in and through you as Rock Christian Center in the coming years? That was about six. Oh dear, I better resign. Are you excited about being part of God's vision for Rock Christian Center in the future? Amen? Yes, wonderful. Because we should be, because God is a great and mighty God. Because Jesus is the only answer to people's needs. Because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we're part of that. Praise God that he said he would build his church, because we make a pretty naff job of it ourselves. So as I said, next week we'll be looking at those other things. But let's just pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. We're going to sing a faith-filled song in a moment. But Father God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would fill each one of us with vision. Lord, may we have a sense of ownership of this vision. Lord, because it comes from you, because it's a biblical vision, Lord, may we, Lord, fulfill this vision and see your kingdom being built in this church and through this church to the glory of your name. Lord, to the extension of your kingdom, Lord, we pray. Lord, fill us with vision, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.